1260 AM Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. Israeli leaders signaling they have given the green light to Israeli forces to move forward on its ground offensive in Gaza. Along the Israel-Gaza border, a U.S. brokered deal between Israel and Egypt is focused on getting humanitarian aid into Gaza. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Cairo.
There is a logjam of aid here in Egypt. We are talking about 3,000 tons and counting of aid supplies, everything from medical equipment to food, water, non-perishable goods, blankets, clothes. That is all stuff that the people of Gaza clearly need at this point, and yet it's been stuck for days on the Egyptian side here waiting to go in.
More than 5,000 have died in the Israel-Hamas war. The State Department says 32 Americans are among the dead. The chaos continues on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers were debating whether to grant more authority to Patrick McHenry, the temporary House Speaker, but that plan fell apart. This is ABC News. Once again, the arraignment for the suspect charged in the 1996 murder of rapper Tupac Shakur has been delayed.
Dwayne Davis, known as Keefe D, sat in court with a graying beard, a blue jail uniform, and shackles. He was expected to enter a plea of not guilty, but the attorney representing him said they're still working on who Davis's lawyer will be, and they need more time.
I'm not going to confirm today, Your Honor, but I'm going to ask the court for 2 weeks.
The judge agreed to give Davis 2 more weeks, but she said after that, they've got to get the case moving. It was already delayed 2 weeks ago for the same reason. Davis is accused of being the mastermind behind the murder of Tupac Shakur. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Mahsa Amini, the 22-year-old woman who died in police custody in Iran last year, was awarded the European Union's top human rights prize. She was arrested by the morality police for allegedly wearing her headscarf incorrectly. The award honors individuals or groups who defend human rights and fundamental freedoms. Rena Roy, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's job market continues to grow, hitting a record high for jobs for the third month in a row in September. According to the State Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin added roughly 8,300 jobs from August to September. From September 2022 to last month, the state added about 34,500 jobs. The Department of Workforce Development also noted the unemployment rate remained at 3.1%, slightly lower than the nationwide unemployment rate of 3.8%. Wisconsin Democrats are proposing legislation to provide additional protections for Wisconsin renters. The bills would add protections for renters against discrimination based on citizenship and provide grant funding for tenants facing eviction. The bills are being circulated for co-sponsors and could be introduced next month. Representative Ryan Clancy of Milwaukee said each bill is backed by data, people with lived experience, and institutions that have advocated and fought for tenants. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Get big savings when insulating your home with 11% off all insulation. A properly insulated home can save you money on your utility bill, all while increasing your family's comfort. And the savings continue with additional federal tax credits on qualifying energy efficiency home improvement purchases. A roll of R13 craft paper-based insulation is $1,210 after 11% rebate. Good through October 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mads here with the Mad Music Menu, your new curated weekly selection of delectable music treats local DJs will be spinning all across town. Follow along on Instagram at Mad Music Menu
Today, Friday, October 20th, we start at Bandit Taco with Audio Max spinning from 7 to 11 p.m. Jeff Kay is setting the mood at Notchfield from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And starting at 10 p.m. is 92.7's very own Mad Unity Radio Show with a special analog set featuring guest Paul Gordon as well as host Cosmo Brown. And I'll be making an appearance to tell y'all why I started this menu. DJ Coale caps off our night at Rigby from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And big shout out to Kitty Spit and Clown Baby, two Madison DJs throwing it down at Pull the Shea Club in Chicago from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. If you're heading down to the Windy City, go support these talented DJs.
Come out and support these fantastic local legends and dance locally. Remember to follow at Mad Music Menu on Instagram for a fresh new menu every Wednesday at noon.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Damn, I'm calling this one the Release the Kraken Thursday edition.
Release the Kraken.
Yes. Release the Kraken. Kraken got released. Hey, Crudy, good to see you. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. Yes, the news of the day. Throw it out there. Trump co-defendant Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election interference case. Uh-oh.
The Kraken. Didn't they threaten to release the Kraken? This lawsuit, these multiple lawsuits rolled out by Sidney Powell, this Trump attorney, was going to turn it back to the win column for the man, right? And they called this the Kraken. I don't know why. Why was it the Kraken? I don't even know how Sidney Powell became like the bearer of the Kraken lawsuits.
I think she's the one that said it, wasn't it? Didn't she coin the term?
She was supposed to go to trial tomorrow, Dom. Her and your buddy Kenneth Cheesebro with the Wisconsin roots, right? They were supposed to be co-defendants, the first of 18 co-defendants that include Donald Trump and the case, the Georgia case. Now, these two wanted expedited, quick trials. The Kraken lady, Sidney Powell, and the Kenneth Cheesebro. And he, Dom, I don't know if you know, but Kenneth Cheesebro, jury selection begins tomorrow. Unless he takes a late pleading of guilty.
Oh.
And why would he do that? Why not just hold out for the courts? Just go take your chances. Well, Sidney Powell, I don't know if you saw, Dom, getting off on misdemeanors and no jail time.
Yeah. She admitted guilt to 6 misdemeanor counts of conspiracy to commit intentional interference with the performance of election duties. She was sentenced to 6 years probation and agreed to pay a $6,000 fine and $2,700 in restitution to the state of Georgia, turn over documents, and testify truthfully in her co-defendants' trials. Apparently, also as part of the deal, she has to write a letter of apology to the citizens of Georgia.
But somehow they clarified no moral turpitude. And this is, I think, a legal term, Tom. I saw it once in a document stuck in front of me, and I said, I'm not signing off on anything that defines my moral turpitude, because you can lose your licensing for that. And she doesn't want to lose her license as a lawyer. Now, how she can escape these convictions without also being disbarred, I don't know, Dom. But apparently that was an important thing. Also, to the Bills bondsman, the Scott Hall guy, also
wanted the first guy that flipped,
shirk acknowledging any breaking of the moral turpitude. Well, Kenneth Cheesebro, He's got his own legal strategies, his own legal defenses, Dom, and jury starts selecting tomorrow in Georgia, and he's the only guy left to try tomorrow. And there's some sad news for your buddy Cheesebro. Apparently, his primary legal defense, well, there was an amicus brief filed in his case today. I'm gonna bring you some of the reporting. Sarah K. Burris, one of my favorite sources, Dom, the raw story. Cheesebro's central defense trashed in a court filing by legal experts.
Uh-oh.
You don't say. Former ethics czar and impeachment lawyer Norm Eisen pointed out that a single ruling in court today could determine whether or not Kenneth Cheesebro joins the Kraken Lady Sidney Powell in making a deal on the racketeering cases. Looking at a court filing, Eisen explained that any plea could depend on how the judge rules on the district attorney's motion to bar his key defense. The defense from Cheesebro is that it was perfectly legal to have false electors that could be used during the election certification process. But a motion in limine, I don't know the word, I'm going to spell it for you legal experts out there, L-I-M-I-N-E, has been filed. This is a procedural mechanism that allows litigators to seek to exclude certain evidence from being presented to a jury. Typically evidence that is irrelevant, unreliable, or more prejudicial than probative, a law firm explained. Now here's the brief, Dom. The brief was filed by 9 conservative legal experts. 9 conservatives, Dom, made up of former federal and state criminal justice officials, including judges, senior U.S. Department of Justice officials, a state attorney general, and United States attorneys, one of whom also served as a governor.
Oh, you mean 9 conservative rhino legal experts, Crudy.
Dominic, the legal experts wrote, and here's a quote, "All 4 motions respond to the same profoundly mistaken legal position advanced by the defendant, Kenneth Cheesebro." This is 9 guys saying, you are so wrong in this. But here's what they continue. That legally defective alternative elector slates for a losing presidential and vice presidential candidacy can be utilized by the same unsuccessful vice president during the January 6th meeting of Congress to assert unilateral power, to usurp the legal authority of Congress, and refuse to recognize the certificates of successful candidate. Do you hear what I'm saying here, Dom? Let me lay it down for you again. Effectively, the legal experts, the conservative legal experts, are saying you cannot advance a false elector scheme as a legal defense. There was never a there. This is not a valid defense. Here's more, Dom. In Mr. Cheesebro's theory, the vice president has the power to recognize himself and his running mate as the winners of the election, despite the fact that the electorate and every court that had reviewed the matter decided they lost, or to send the choice of who won to partisan state legislators aligned with them. Their amicus brief goes on to walk through the laws that support the state's motions, pointing out the mistake of the law and curbing how such an excuse could be used at trial. Well, Dom, I wonder how the judge is going to rule on the DA's motion. Because if the entire Cheesebro legal defense is the laying out the false elector scheme and claiming there's validity there, he's just laying out some legal theory that they actually executed.
I'm just spitballing
in a criminal
here,
scheme.
No, we're just talking. We're just talking.
Now, if the judge throws that out, Dom, the petulant, the crypto bro, Cheesebro, will he turn state's evidence? Will he also seek to plead, Dom, or is he going to trial tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I would think if he is not allowed to use this defense, and I don't know how this could be a defense, what's he going to stand up and say? We were just talking. This couple of friends having a good time. You know, what is your defense? And it certainly doesn't make sense. And I would agree with the 9 conservative legal experts that, you know, Pence could just get up there and say, we won. You know what I'm saying? Then this whole thing, again, based on lies and misinformation, as has been reported. Hell, Cheesebro himself said, we want Wisconsinites to think the election was stolen from them. by Harris and Biden. We want them to come away with this. We're going to file these legal briefs
despite in order to
perpetuate that theory, that falsehood.
Despite a 1% chance, according to his own legal assessment, a 1% chance of success. And he said, well, it's not just about that, though. It's about the political motive, right?
Yes.
It's about showing the U.S. Supreme Court cannot move with enough alacrity. And therefore, we got to kick it back to the partisan state legislatures, because that was the plan, right? I mean, hell, yes. We had 14 Wisconsin Republicans. Maybe it was 15. Andre Jacques, one of them. Dan Knodel, another, if I recall them, wrote a letter to the vice president of the United States on January 5th, 2021, asking him to kick it back to the state lawmakers. Because, you know, Robin Voss and the team, they're always known for doing the right and fair thing. Can you see how ludicrous this seems?
When Cheesebro gave his 1% prediction that this would be taken up, I wonder if he thought, like, man, what's the percentage of chance that this is totally wrong and illegal and I'm going to be prosecuted for it?
About 99%.
No, just giving legal advice. It's all fine and good here. Just a couple of guys hanging out trying to figure out how to subvert democracy.
Now, how do you think things are going over in the Trump legal defense tent? Right? I mean, right now we've seen Scott Hall plead guilty. And my understanding, this is a whole different sort of underlying case. And this case is actually tampering with the machines, seizing the machines in Georgia, taking County, voting machines. And up until now, the Kraken lady, Sidney Pelson, absolutely, I had no part in this.
No.
Until today when she pled guilty to the charges. And then one must wonder, Dom, what sort of evidence she might be able to lay out, because, you know, she got off on probation, no jail time. Despite the 6 convictions, Dom, you might wonder if she's got some juicy stuff to offer, because they took her testimony, her deposition, last night, video evidence, before she got to sign the plea agreement. Like, they knew what she had to offer before they gave her the deal, Dom. And, you know, if the judge down in Fulton County decides that Cheeseboro's primary legal defense is not valid, like the amicus brief from all these legal experts and conservative, including a former governor, you know, let's say they find this way. Well, it could be all over but the crying and the losing of the mattress, Dom.
Powell agreed to plead guilty to all aspects of the conspiracy that prosecutors have alleged, including paying employees of Sullivan Strickler to travel to Coffee County and copy voter data without authority, and to interfere with, hinder, or delay the duties of Misty Hampton, a Coffee County elections director, who has also been charged in the Georgia case. Asked by Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee whether she understood the charges to which she was pleading guilty, Powell replied, "I do."
Release the Kraken! Release the Kraken! You know, we don't really... What was the movie? It wasn't Chariots of Fire. No, not this music. Because, Nate, what was the movie?
Clash of the Titans.
Apparently, they don't have a musical theme to fall back upon for Release the Kraken. So we've chosen this theme. It's going to be a long run. Well, I did.
Yeah.
It was this or some death metal stuff you wanted to choose.
Oh, come on. That's coming up next, baby.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got to tell you, his legal travails, Cheesebro, and the Kraken kind of make me smile a little.
Mads here with the Mad Music Menu, your new curated weekly selection of delectable music treats local DJs will be spinning all across town. Follow along Thursday through Saturday at this time on 92.7 FM, Mad Radio, WMDX, and on Instagram at Mad Music Menu. Today, Thursday, October 19th, DJ Zipdis kicks off an exciting pre-Halloween weekend at Bandit Taco from 7 to 11 p.m. Upstairs at Gibbs, EMC will be throwing down tracks from 8 to 11 p.m. If you're feeling like having a 3-cup, head to Notchfield to listen to Mad Coins behind the booth from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And if it's dancing you're looking for, Crucible is putting on their 4th edition of Rapid Fire from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. Featuring a handful of local DJs spinning some high-tempo beats that'll be sure to get your body moving. Come out and support these fantastic local legends and dance locally. As always, stay safe, drink responsibly, tip your dear bartender, and have fun. Remember to follow at Mad Music Menu on Instagram for a fresh new menu every Wednesday at noon.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with a low of 42. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 59 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered showers. Lows around 45. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Saturday with highs around 55. 53 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 57.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's the 420 break. I expected something different than that, Nate. Very disappointed right now. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789.
Well, unfortunately, Nate, like you, apparently has some short-term memory loss. He asked me, what's the name of the death metal song that Dom wanted? And I didn't know.
Suicide Messiah by Black Label Society, man.
And I didn't call it death metal. I know that Black Label Society isn't death metal, but I could not remember the name of the song.
No, man.
I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. There's known knowns and there's unknown knowns. And I don't know anything about that song, but I suspect I won't like it. And you kids get off my grass.
Right.
You know why I had him play the Kung Fu Fighting Time?
Why, Crudy? Because you decided to jump over me and take my walk-up music and insert your own?
No, that's entirely on Nate. I'm just saying, he said, what was the song? I'm like, I don't know what damn song he wanted. I said, A, play Kung Fu Fighting. That'll irritate the you-know-what out of him.
Success.
And B, I don't know if you noticed, Dan, but today I am dressed as a ninja. Or
all black.
Perhaps a Sopranos character, because I have like a all black tracksuit on today. Even a gray and black badger hat. I had to pull that one out of the back of the closet. But my wife, you know, I was getting ready to go to work today and I thought maybe it's time to put some pants on, you know, jeans or something. Denim, dungarees, some sort. And my wife's like, why are you putting on pants? You know, because I got sweatpants on. I got tracksuit on. I said, well, you know, I should look like I'm trying. She said, well, you look like you're trying to be a ninja. And I took that as a bit of a compliment. So
the black is slimming, Michael.
Is it? Is it? Because it takes a lot to make me look slim. And unfortunately, Dom, I could not be a real ninja. Not because of lack of slimness, but, you know, the allergies. They'd hear me coming. I always end up sneezing.
A mile away.
You know, I am thinking about Halloween costumes somewhat. Not so much costume as like a pumpkin. You know, I saw on my Facebook memories, Steph Salvia's carving of the Devil's Advocate's pumpkin from 10 years ago,
that's
dude.
Right. Wow, that's right. I forgot about
tagged me on the Facebook 10 years ago.
Nice. Wow.
I only had like 3 Facebook friends then. And so anyways, I was thinking, Don, we this weekend, I know you're going up to the cabin. I'm going to sneak up to our little cabin as well. I think we should start a little pumpkin carving or decorating contest. You know, it's the season. The pumpkin spice season, as they will, Dom. And you know, I've made some political pumpkins in the past, and then
yes.
Half the joy.
I remember you beating the pumpkins and
yes.
Smashing the pumpkins.
Yes.
It was a little disturbing. Yes, I recall.
It is cathartic to smash. Like, I've had the Trump pumpkin. I've had lots of pumpkins. And then I smash them after the, you know, the All Hallows Eve or whatever you celebrate your house, Halloween. You know, then post-Halloween, you go smash the pumpkin. And it's cathartic, Dom. Or, you know, I could make a Dom pumpkin. That'd be cathartic smashing as well.
Man, I do you need a hug, Crudy? I'm a little concerned, man. What, all this pent-up rage, brother. Why you got to smash the pumpkins?
Well,
you got to clean them up, right? I mean, what do you do after you smash them?
Well, I hope some deer or something come eat them. Yeah. No, I did it on the driveway last couple. Usually I use like a snow shovel, you know, because you got to get ready. That's coming as well, Dom. Anytime after Halloween, effectively, it could be snow season. What's your favorite Halloween costume that you ever wore?
Oh, hell.
Dear Jesus.
As a kid, well, I mean, you can't, those are two separate things. Now, as a child, I put in my fake teeth, you know, with the fangs on them, you know, and my mom made me a cheetah. I was a badass cheetah with the ears and the
I somehow the doubt thing. That, but please continue.
Yes. And then as I got older, it kind of morphed into Beard Jesus. Yes.
The circle of life. You were like Simba out there, right?
It's a thing. I don't know. I didn't come up with it, man. I was just wearing the robe and it just kind of happened.
Best childhood costume I ever had. Our friend, when I was growing up, had the full Darth Vader, the helmet. He even did the electronics and stuff. And then my mom, who was quite an artist, now departed, but she was a great artist. And she made a paper mache Yoda head. And I swear to God, I was the spitting image of Yoda. And I was about half as tall as her friend who walked us around the neighborhood. And he was Darth Vader. And I was Yoda. And it was a cool costume. That was my kid, my favorite kid costume. Although a little hard to see. I had to use the Force a lot that night. But as an adult, I believe my sophomore year in college, it was still Lindy's back then, you know, before they made the conversion.
Yeah. The library, yeah.
Yeah, that was a sad day. But anyways, you know, we were still going to Lindy's, and it snowed on Halloween, dude. We got like 6 inches of snow while we were partying in the bars that night. And I went out as every Republican's worst nightmare, a transitioning woman. I just dressed as a woman. And in fact, I had a girl from the art department, Tracy, did my makeup. If I say so myself, I was quite sexy, Dom. And I wore a short skirt, like a, you know, like, actually, I think it was like a sarong from the Bikini Yacht Club. And volleyballs up under my shirt. And a blonde wig and well-done makeup. Like, excellent, well-done makeup. Took me weeks to get it off, but I had a lot of fun that night. It was a hell of a fun Halloween night. Yeah,
I bet you did.
Except I didn't have high heels. And I remember walking around in front of Lindy's at bar time. And, you know, I was up to my ankles in snow. And, you know, I didn't have my stockings on, so my ankles got a little cold. That's it. That's the whole story. It doesn't get better. That's it.
Sorry I missed Crudy and Drag back then.
I think you and I do a head-to-head pumpkin contest and let the audience judge, and they can submit their own on social media.
Oh, seems like a lot of work, man.
Tag, Dom hates this song. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. Release the Kraken.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. Israeli leaders signaling they have given the green light to Israeli forces to move forward on its ground offensive in Gaza. Along the Israel-Gaza border, a U.S. brokered deal between Israel and Egypt is focused on getting humanitarian aid into Gaza. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Cairo.
There is a logjam of aid here in Egypt. We are talking about 3,000 tons and counting of aid supplies, everything from medical equipment to food, water, non-perishable goods, blankets, clothes. That is all stuff that the people of Gaza clearly need at this point, and yet it's been stuck for days on the Egyptian side here waiting to go in.
More than 5,000 have died in the Israel-Hamas war. The State Department says 32 Americans are among the dead. The chaos continues on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers were debating whether to grant more authority to Patrick McHenry, the temporary House Speaker, but that plan fell apart. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Today, Wisconsin Public Service announces they're teaming up with law enforcement agencies across the state to share the warning signs of utility scams, especially on social media. The red flags to watch out for include someone pretending to call from WPS by spoofing caller ID to display Wisconsin Public Service, or using a recording that sounds authentic, threatening to turn off your energy, or demanding immediate payment, often with a prepaid debit card or third-party payment app. Wisconsin's Joint Committee on Employment Relations approved a pay plan for state employees that withheld pay raises for universities of Wisconsin employees this week. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has taken aim at diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at the universities of Wisconsin, promoting a budget cut of $32 million for the universities to get rid of DEI positions. The pay raises will affect over 35,000 Wisconsinites working for the universities. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
I hate this song. This song sucks. What is this song, Dan?
Suicide Messiah by Black Label Society, who is the lead singer and guitarist from Zakk Wylde. Used to play with Ozzy Osbourne back in the Crazy Babies days, back when we were in college.
How exciting for you. You know, a couple of the texters said, you guys are going to give Dom an aneurysm with these musical picks. And then another question, Jeff from Shorewood wants to know, is Dom going to Gwar? Are you going to Gwar?
I know, they're coming to town. I saw that. I've never seen Gwar, though I'm not opposed.
Jeff also, in an earlier text, said, stop disparaging the Kraken. Of course, Sidney Powell has pled guilty, the Kraken lady down in Georgia. And tomorrow, we find out if Kenneth Cheesebro goes to trial or not, because he could still plead guilty today. His primary legal defense is being questioned by an amicus brief of conservative legal experts. More out here. Andrew from Verona says, pleads guilty, great, but only probation and a $10,000 fine? That's a slap on the wrist. That depends on what sort of testimony she gives against whom.
Exactly, right.
I'm okay if she rolls over. I didn't know who the Kraken lady was until Donald Trump brought her and she represented Trump in all these non-meritorious lawsuits, let's just say. And now she has pled guilty to racketeering charges. More. Jeff correcting my inability to pronounce legal words. Jeff's a lawyer, apparently. Lemonade. No, that's not what he said. Lemonade. That's the word for an amicus brief. Apparently, these legal scholars have filed in the cheese bro filing.
The conservative legal scholars.
About nine of
nine. Conservative. Lisa Rubin has an opinion on this as well. And I'm going to throw this out there. We'll take your calls. 844-967-2789. Found this on the Raw story as well. Here's what Lisa Rubin says. When folks ask why Sidney Powell pled guilty in Fulton County, yes, the risk of felony convictions was surely on her mind, but also weighing on her ongoing civil litigation, including Dominion's suit. She further pointed out that Powell tried to dismiss that case, but in August of 2021, a D.C. federal judge rejected her motion to dismiss entirely. More recently, on October 4, just 19 days out from the start of her criminal trial in Fulton County, Powell asked for a 60-day stay of discovery in the Dominion case. She noted that responding to discovery or appealing for a deposition could implicate her Fifth Amendment rights. Rubin went on to say that Dominion responded to Powell only yesterday and that she's been losing all of her pretrial motions before Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee. Powell being sued for defamation by Dominion Voting Systems after frequent appearances on TV in which she said the company had rigged the voting machines to favor Biden. It was clear that the civil case would likely go on during her criminal trial, and the dollars at risk in that case could have been a big incentive for Powell to plead. Rubin concluded by saying the guilty pleas don't affect the Dominion suit, while the trial itself likely would have. Dominion pled guilty to six counts of conspiring to interfere with Misty Hampton's performance of her election-related duties in Coffee County. Her plea is largely irrelevant to the claims in Dominion's defamation and deceptive trade practices suit. On the other hand, if her criminal trial had gone forward, there could have been much more overlap between the DA's evidence against her and Dominion's suit. So you got to wonder, I think a great point by Rubin, how much that plays into this.
I was just perusing the coverage over at Fox News. Like, are they really going to admit the fact that one of the Trump co-defendants has pled guilty?
Another one.
Yes. Nothing earth-shattering about this coverage. They do mention Cheeseborough's trial is scheduled to begin Friday. I sure hope it does, Dom.
I hope he pleads. I hope he's got something to say, rolls over and kicks it up, man.
Nope.
That's the whole point.
No. No, I disagree with your strategy. While that might be in Cheeseborough's best interest, I want what's in the nation's best interest, Dom, and that would be a trial, a conviction, a long sentence that might demonstrate to other defendants the peril that they're going to be in if they go to trial and they fight these charges. I'd like to see like a 20-year sentence dropped on this guy, and we'll see how many of the other 16 co-defendants and the unindicted co-conspirators, we'll see how many of them start flipping on the old man, old orange breath himself.
844-967-2789. Let's get to some of the callers. Dick from Madison, Wisconsin. You're up, Dick. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, hi, guys. I thought that was light, too, at first. But maybe, just maybe, they're going for the way bigger prize that you just brought up, Kurt. I mean, first of all, as I understand this, is this correct? All other 18 of these people, she will have to testify against, potentially, if she's
potentially,
called.
Yes.
Yes, and one of them being Trump himself. And another thing, from what I understand, Jack Smith is looming. She's not out of bounds for him either. So, you know, if this thing has some real long tentacles, I'm down with her supposed light sentence, or not sentence, whatever you call it, as of now, because I think that they're literally going for the biggest prize.
Well, I think Andrew called it a slap on the wrist, and I'm okay if the first defendant that rolls over and pleads guilty against presumably the bigger fish upstream, I'm okay if one gets off, right? But you don't need that many cooperating witnesses, like two or three maybe. And you got the whole 18. You can wrap a bow on all of them. So I'm okay with this one. but it depends on what she testifies to. And they already know what she testified to because they put it on videotape last night. Here's the question. Coffee County, this actual manipulation, mm-hmm. this go and get stuff, breach campaign laws, go and break into the machines effectively. If Trump knew about that, that's a whole new level of implication that you could bring upon the man.
Yep, exactly. And that's where I hope it's going. I sincerely think that these people that are working with this are a lot smarter than she is.
Well,
and Trump and all of Trump's people. So let's see where it goes. I just wish it was moving faster.
Hey, Dick, thanks for the call,
faster.
Man. And I wish it was moving faster as well. I mean, come on. We should have been.
Cheesebro goes to trial tomorrow. Cheesebro.
I know, but Crudy, what was your main complaint a year ago? Why wasn't this happening? Why wasn't this done?
Sure.
Granted, we're here now, thankfully. But, yes, we could have had this done a year ago, and we wouldn't necessarily be in this entire election cycle, you know, trying to work with these calendars.
But, again, selfishly, I want the Cheesebro trial. Because it's about the state of Wisconsin, right?
It's all about the state's everything, man. It's all about Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and
specifically about Wisconsin. Cheesebro laid out the false elector scheme for the state of Wisconsin. It was executed. Hell, some of the testimony, some of the videotape evidence that we're expecting at the Cheesebro trial includes what happened on December 14th, 2020, in that building right there, a block away from me, Dom, when those false Trump electors committed what I allege was a criminal conspiracy. I want to know what they said. I want to see what happened in that room. And that videotape exists and maybe an exhibit at the Cheesebro trial that starts tomorrow. So I don't want this guy pleading.
The fraudulent electors, let's throw this one out there. When we get back to the phones, 844-967-2789. Joey Cappelletti reporting over at the Associated Press. A Michigan Republican accused of participating in a fake elector plot had all criminal charges dropped Thursday after he and the state attorney general's office reached a cooperation deal. James Renner was one of 16 Republicans who acted as false electors for then Trump in 2020, according to charges announced in July by Dana Nestle, the AG in Michigan. President Joe Biden won Michigan by nearly 155,000 votes, a result confirmed by a GOP-led state Senate investigation in 2021. All 16 defendants pleaded not guilty to 8 criminal charges, including multiple counts of forgery, after investigators say the group met following the 2020 presidential election, signed documents falsely stating they were the state's duly elected and qualified electors. But on Thursday, the Attorney General's office announced during a court hearing in Ingham County that it would drop its case against Renner, 77 years old, based on an agreement between the parties. Renner's lawyer, Clint Westbrook, said in court that he and his client welcomed the result. Westbrook did not immediately return a call seeking further comment. In a statement, the state attorney general's office said they dismissed the Renner case under a cooperation agreement. While the office did not elaborate further, cooperation agreements typically include talking to investigators and, if necessary, testifying against others.
Dom, I take encouragement from this reporting. According to former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance, a recent plea deal agreed to by one of Donald Trump's 18 co-defendants in Georgia racketeering trial should be keeping the former president and other alleged key co-conspirators up at night as the clock is ticking on the first upcoming trial. In a column for MSNBC, the former federal prosecutor wrote the deal that Georgia bail bondsman Scott Hall was extremely generous, which indicates he has provided prosecutors with key evidence that will likely create a domino effect, leading other co-defendants to rush to grab their own sweetheart deals. You better get them while they're hot, Dom, because you only need a couple. With the well-connected Hall tied to the fake elector scheme. Again, Hall, who pled guilty, is tied to the fake elector scheme. Vance wrote that former Trump lawyer Sidney Pell should be the most alarmed by the plea deal, which she called very good for the defendant, and that in turn should make her consider making a deal of her own. Well, very prescient, because that's what the Kraken lady Sidney Pell did today. And that, according to this column, Dom, would be a major blow to Trump. There are so many sweetheart deals to go around. Prosecutors' need for witnesses on any given point is limited. And typically, those defendants who are first in get the best deals. Oh, you need to be the first rat off the ship, Dom. Does Pell want to run the risk of a sentence of 5 to 20 years in a Georgia state prison? Or might she decide it's time to cut her losses and testify to what she knows about Trump? She wrote that making that case that it should be keeping the former president Donald Trump up at night. Well, we know the answer today, Dom, one day later. Pal's all in. She will testify against her co-defendants in Georgia. And as you noted, Tom, she's still not exempt from federal prosecution from Jack Smith. I feel like it's been a good week.
It has been. And to see this one guy in Michigan, Dana Nessel, attorney general, cop a deal with one of the false electors there, that also is encouraging. Josh Call, just wondering what you got going on, Wisconsin's attorney general. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up.
I think Josh is carving pumpkins.
What do you got for us today, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Well, I'm wearing my Civic Media shirt right now that I got the other
one. All right. It's a super shirt.
And super shirt. And it is, let's remember, this was an interstate conspiracy. I mean, across, it went nationwide, springing out from the spider web with Donald Trump sitting at the base of the web with his little minions around him, And this is, that everybody knows, probably everybody was bragging to everybody else that they're about doing all this stuff. And all the people who signed that letter to Ron Johnson encouraging them to overturn the election here in the state of Wisconsin should be charged, their names should be plastered all over the newspaper for the next 6 months that they were involved in this. I mean, Andre Jacques, here's the guy that was on death's door with COVID. And no sense of I'm just staggered by the fact that these guys want to do this.
Man. And it's hard to get your mind around it. The fact that, these constitutional loving Republicans would just somehow want to just throw out the will of the people because somebody's been planting some seed corn that this thing was stolen. Oh yeah, that's right. That was cheese, bro. This was an actual effort, a conspiracy to undermine our elections for the benefit of Donald Trump to somehow instill a dictatorship. I mean, really, that's what we're talking about. And then to see this finally starting to unravel, to see some in Michigan, in Coffee County, the Kraken and this other bail bondsman, see some people copping deals. Those are good things. We need more of that.
I care a lot about what happened in Dane County and that building right over there. I want to know what happened on December 14, 2020 in the Wisconsin State Capitol. I want to know what part Kenneth Cheesebro played in it, and all the Republicans, all up and down. Dom, they're all guilty of conspiracy to commit insurrection. That would be my charge, but, I didn't even take the LSATs. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, better music on the other side, I promise. 844-967-2789.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? The parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 42. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 59. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows around 45. Mainly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 55. Saturday, under mainly cloudy skies. 53, Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 61.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for you at 844-967-2789.
Better music. The Rolling Stones. Painted Black. Crudy's a Ninja. Maybe.
Crudy's. Maybe. Hey, Crudy's the Hollywood Ninja.
Was that Jack Black?
No, that was
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
Okay, if that's how it's going to be. I see. You wear black every day of your life to hide that muffin.
I do. I'll stop wearing black when they make a darker color, Crudy. It's living.
It's dark like your heart and your thoughts and your cynical attitude. 844-967-2789. Dom, politically speaking, I want to keep our attention here in the state of Wisconsin for just a minute. We've got Senator Mark Spreitzer joining us at 5:30 today. A good Democrat. He was part of the Senate hearing today on the fair maps, let's just say, this newest legislative piece. So we'll get there. But have you noted what's happening to the UW system right now? We are running massive budget surplus here in the state of Wisconsin. News out. One out of every six educators at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh being eliminated. Above and beyond that, the University of Washington County, two-year school, that's being closed. Fond du Lac's being closed. And Robin Voss's answer to people that, you know, would bemoan the fact that you're firing good people while the state's running massive surpluses. The state could certainly afford the $18 million budget shortfall relative to the $7 billion surplus they're running. And Robin Voss's answer was effectively, well, take that money away from diversity, education, and inclusion stuff, right? That's been his contention the whole time. He's been sticking it to the UW constantly. And now this little general, this, and I would say his attitude is quite bigoted. This little bigot, perhaps, is now threatening the entire UW system staff. No one gets a raise because Robin Voss doesn't like the fact that black people might feel a little more included on campus. This is the newest reporting over at the Journal Sentinel. Dom, have you seen this article? I don't want to be the only one outraged by this.
Yeah. Tyler Katzenberger and Molly Beck reporting.
Republican lawmakers exclude UW staff from state worker pay raise in the fight for over diversity funding. In an ongoing battle between Republican legislative leaders and the state's public university system, GOP lawmakers on Tuesday approved a two-year pay increase for state workers, but left out the 41,000 people who work for the University of Wisconsin system. The bipartisan Joint Committee on Employee Relations, which consists of legislative leaders, approved a plan to give state workers who do not work within the UW system a 6% pay increase over 2 years. I believe that's like 4% and 2% near two, Dom. The group includes state troopers, prison guards, and other staffers. But the committee, co-led by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, did not include any pay raises for staffs on the UW system campuses. Voss has vowed not to approve the raises until UW campuses dismantle programs focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, a Democrat friend of ours from Madison, said the committee was only doing half our job today because UW employees account for about half of the state's workforce. We are denying pay increases for half of our state workforce because of one person's resistance to initiatives to increase inclusion on our campuses. This is a sad moment for our state when the majority party is actively holding our workers hostage because they cannot hand them the ability to focus on equity and diversity in the state of Wisconsin. Voss said UW Systems officials balked at the idea of receiving raises in exchange for the legislature approving the creation of any new positions. Voss said the system had created 1,400 new jobs since 2017. Now, here's a quote from Voss, your buddy. "We're more than willing to limit the number of positions like every other state agency at a reasonable exchange to say we want increases for the people who are already there. So all this mumbo jumbo about saying somehow we're against the university system, we're trying to actually have some kind of control for the taxpayers, but only in regards to diversity, inclusion, stuff.
Equity and inclusion." Yeah. And so small government Republican Robin Voss wants the legislature to be what, in charge of HR for the UW system? They want to get what, the okay? Because you guys know what the UW system needs? Apparently, Crudy Republicans weren't united in the committee's decision. Senator Howard Markline, a Republican from Spring Green, said he was disappointed the compensation plan approved Thursday didn't include UW employees. He said they shouldn't be penalized for policy decisions. The custodians, executive assistants, food service providers, and local faculty at UW-Platteville have very little to do with the politics of the university system, Markline said, referring to the UW campus in his district.
Stick it to the janitors. That's Voss's policy.
Put that on a bumper sticker. UW system president Jay Rothman said he was heartened by Markline's comments and disappointed by the committee's actions. Quite frankly, it is unprecedented to withhold pay from tens of thousands of working families, as was done today, Rothman told reporters Tuesday. We are beyond disappointed at this point. Republicans' decision not to take up the UW system pay raises Tuesday is the latest move in an escalating war over campus diversity initiatives. Voss last spring called on campuses to cut diversity offices and employees who support a broad range of students, such as students of color, student veterans, women studying in male-dominated disciplines, and students with disabilities. He sees DEI initiatives as racially divisive and exclusionary. Yes, the diversity, equity, and inclusion is exclusionary, according to Voss. Since then, Voss led a GOP effort to cut $32 million from the UW system's budget in June, a plan that put 188 DEI positions in its crosshairs until Evers used a partial veto to keep the positions. However, the budget cut stood, and while the university has a chance to earn it back by allocating money to work for workforce development programs, Voss has said the system will not get another nickel until it eliminates its diversity offices. Priorities here, Curdy. Whether he was willing to restore the $32 million cut in exchange for giving the legislature authority over new positions, but without a commitment to eliminate DEI, Voss indicated he was open to the idea. We would talk about it, but they first have to be open to saying we can't just have everything that we've always had, and I'm kind of waiting for them to show some flexibility that has been there yet, Voss told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
You know, he is a graduate of the UW system. The popcorn magnet himself, Don.
Yes, back when it was, you know, less inclusive.
The way he likes it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Robin Voss, you couldn't come off as more bigoted in this position. Or petty. What a combo. Petty and bigoted. I'm just saying. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. If you see it a different way, Robin, you can join us. 844-967-2789.
Mads here with the Mad Music Menu, your new curated weekly selection of delectable music treats local DJs will be spinning all across town. Follow along on Instagram at Mad Music Menu. Today, Friday, October 20th, we start at Bandit Taco with Audio Max spinning from 7 to 11 p.m. Jeff K is setting the mood at Notchfield from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And starting at 10 p.m. is 92.7's very own Mad Unity Radio Show with a special analog set featuring guest Paul Gordon as well as host Cosmo Brown. And I'll be making an appearance to tell y'all why I started this menu.
DJ Koale caps off our night at Rigby from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And big shout out to Kitty Spit and Clown Baby, two Madison DJs throwing it down at Pulled the Shea Club in Chicago from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. If you're heading down to the Windy City, go support these talented DJs.
Come out and support these fantastic local legends and dance locally. Remember to follow at Mad Music Menu on Instagram for a fresh new menu every Wednesday at noon.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.